Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey and welcome to Business is Personal. Our topic today is the real cost of overwhelm, and our leading lady is author, performer, somatic educator, and master coach, Mindy Netafi. Good morning, Mindy. I'm so happy that you're here this morning. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I love having you. And before we dive into this incredibly important and certainly timely topic of the real cost of overwhelm, I want to tell everybody a little bit more about you, Mindy, because I think that it's poignant and I think it really speaks to this topic even more so. So Mindy, she teaches and she writes. She conducts performance workshops for literary arts. She produces stories for radio and stage with Backfence, PDX, and The Moss. I'm sure that most of you are really familiar with The Moss. She's published two full-length collections and a how-to book called Glitter in the Blood. She's co-edited an anthology of poems for teenage girls called Courage, and she has a new book coming out in spring of 2018, which I cannot recommend enough, called Open Your Mouth Like a Bell. Mindy is also the co-founder and principal of Free Delivery, and as if that's not enough, she holds a master's in depth psychology and somatic studies, and she's currently doing her doctoral research into the role of voice and language in trauma healing. And the reason that that is important for me in this conversation is because Mindy has the same 24 hours a day that we all do, and yet she has this ability to make all of this magic happen, and it is no doubt in large part, Mindy, to the work that you've done, and I think that that is all the more reason why you're the perfect person to have this really beautiful, poignant conversation with today. So you make
thank
a
you
lot
so
of
much,
things
Sean Marie.
Happen. You're so welcome. And you make it seem seamless and magical, and I know that that is not without great intention. So with that, and with your gorgeous, robust background, I would really love to just jump in and talk about this. Like, what is overwhelm really?
That's a great place to start. I'm sure everybody listening, the moment they sort of hear the word overwhelm and wonder what it means, are immediately kind of tuning in to their own present symptoms of overwhelm or their recent memory of feeling really overwhelmed. Usually this time of year, we're moving towards the holidays. This is a time when we are especially susceptible to this. And of course there's maybe a little extra context right now for all of us with what's going on in the wider culture. But when we're talking about overwhelm, I find it helpful to think of some different categories of symptoms. It's helpful to think of overwhelm as just a series of symptoms. And these symptoms might be emotional. They might be cognitive or mental. They might be physical. They might be relational. And they might be what we would categorize as spiritual sort of symptoms of overwhelm. And that just means you're starting to experience kind of like acute signs of distress in one of those areas. And everybody can experience signs of distress in all of those areas. Some of us kind of have a, have like a go-to. We know that there's sort of a first sign that's typical for us of when things are kind of going off the deep end. Emotional symptoms might be, I'm sure this has never happened to you, crying at the end of a day, even though it's, you know, sort of objectively not that time. No reason for it. You're just done, and all these emotions begin to pour out of you. I'm susceptible to cognitive symptoms of overwhelm, meaning if I've pushed things too far, too long, I will begin to lose the thread of conversations. I won't be able to speak as quickly. Some people, of course, experience circling thoughts. You know, anxiety presents in that way mentally. Physical symptoms of overwhelm could be either sort of extreme fatigue or not sleeping is a common one, so beginning to have trouble sleeping. There could, of course, be in the realm of chronic illness or pain. There could even be sort of nervous system symptoms like twitching. We would consider, you know, anxiety even to be, and depression to be in these physical categories as well. Relationally, you know, for some people, the first sign that things are not okay is that things start sort of going wrong in their relationships with their kids or with their partner. Sometimes we, in an attempt to try to control our environment when things are getting out of control for us, we try to control the other people in that environment, which is not as fun for them. And so we begin to sort of have stress and fights in our relationships. And then finally, it's really important to think of this category of spiritual symptoms. And what I really mean here is when you begin to actually experience a loss of meaning. And so that might look like suddenly you find yourself, you know, even if you're kind of generally misanthropic, like you've really taken a dark turn and you start to feel really hopeless about humanity, about the world, about, you know, everything, and you know, your relationships no longer satisfy, your work no longer has meaning for you. And I would consider that to be actually a pretty, that's a, sort of like a three alarm symptom. If you've gotten to that place, then you are truly at a dangerous place of overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that help?
And like, oh, Mindy, it helps so much. And as you and I have talked about a lot, this time of year is certainly a very potent time for people to feel overwhelmed with all of the doing and the expectations, whether they're from other people or the, you know, expectations that they're putting upon themselves. You and I also talked about the fact that a year ago, things were certainly topsy-turvy, and it was a very tender, emotional, overwhelming time, and it's now a year later, but there are all kinds of other things coming to the surface that women are really needing to talk about. And I think that you helping to put some framework around symptomatically what overwhelm can look like, that there are triggers and indicators that happen long before, you know, we are in that, you know, that crisis state. So, you know, that was really helpful. So thank you so much. And since the majority of women who listen to our show have some creative professional direction that they're moving in, whether they are entrepreneurs or whether these are professional women that are leading in some capacity, I'd really love to dive in and talk about the relationship between business success and mental health. And I know that you have a lot to share with us on that point.
Well, yeah, I think that's, of course, what we're sort of getting at when we're even talking about overwhelm is really trying to get real about what the relationship is between our mental health and our capacity to work successfully. And even if you just imagine what you would be capable of if you went into work every day clear-headed, energized, full of like intention and motivation, feeling a lot of meaning, feeling really connected to your work and its mission, you know, if you sort of have that feeling, what if you could even, you were like feeling so well that you were also really good at tuning in to like when the opportune moment was to do something. You're really like tracking your own energy so you know when to stop and when you have needs, you know, like you're getting hungry or, you know, like the wellness that we're aspiring to is really kind of just this really beautiful place where we are working at our sort of full capacity and feeling totally resourced at that place. And none of us are there. Like we're all, you know, we have
truly
moments, we have days, right?
Yes.
But what, you know, what we're really, and so the opposite of that, of course, is imagining how difficult, and everybody knows this, like how challenging those times are at work when you're not well. And we're not just talking about, you know, having a cold, like when there's so much perhaps going on in your personal life or with your family that you are having a lot of symptoms, you know, you're like, you're feeling emotional, things aren't, maybe there's a lot of stress in your outside relationships. And while some of us can be good at what I'll call bracketing, which means like I'm going to try to really keep my work life and my personal life separate, but only when things are going bad. when my personal life is really good, I want to bring that energy into my work. But when it's bad, I want to like bracket it. But that is almost, that's impossible to sustain, that kind of disconnect. That kind of like splitting off of the self eventually has other consequences as well. There's sort of like a real price to faking it, you know? And conversely, even the smallest regular investments in your own, you know, well-being, like your own mental and emotional health, like
absolutely,
we can't possibly know what those investments will bring back to us in so far as our ability to stay tapped in to our real gifts and a sense of being on the path that we are meant to be on. Like that there's, you know, that there's sort of an individuation element to this. There's, I truly believe everybody has unique real gifts to offer. And that's, we're trying to get to that place where we're healed enough that we are able to finally be in service to others who are suffering, and to this world that is incredibly broken and in desperate need of real adults who have healed from their stuff, and can do the work, can show up and do the work every day.
Well, girl, you are certainly taking us to church this morning, and I couldn't agree more. And I mean, and I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, our topic could have even been, you know, the real cost of faking it. You know, the real cost of not listening.
Isn't that what we do when we're overwhelmed? We fake it.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, everything's
it
fine.
Absolutely is.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and even the topic of our show, or the theme of my show personally, that business is personal. It's exactly for that reason, because they're not separate. That we are, you know, that we are deeply affected, and you know, this idea of bracketing is really interesting. But we are affected, and I think why I love our topic today and you and I having this conversation is to really get into some ideas and strategies on how to not ignore those things, to not fall into default of faking it. And, you know, one of my, a healer that I worked with a long time ago, I mean, it came down to as simple as her telling me that I wasn't breathing. I mean, obviously I was breathing in and out, but I was this pattern also that we have of holding our breath, of not really breathing. And, you know, and speaking of healing and the things that can trigger overwhelm that we tend to discount or just, you know, completely ignore or not even consider as being part of the issue. I'd really love to also talk about how do we know when overwhelm is really about trauma? Like, can we talk a little bit about what, you know, about the deeper stem of that?
Absolutely. I think that just as an opening into this space, is to imagine that, you know, there's sort of a relationship that we all have between our resources and demands. And often most of us are living in a place where the demands are slightly greater than our resources to meet them. Most women who are working and taking care of other people in their lives kind of live on this edge, you know, where we're not exactly in the sweet spot where resources are equal to demands. We live a little, but that's okay. We live a little bit in the stressed place, but we can do that for a while. But if there ever reaches a point where you don't, you know, like you've been in a place where, you know, demands have been too great for a while, you have been feeling overwhelmed for a little while, but when you try to take care of that by, say, like taking a break, you know, you take a vacation or you try to sort of like address what's been overwhelming you, but you don't bounce back. You don't recover.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's a strong indication that there's something deeper going on. And, you know, it's helpful to really think of trauma as, first of all, there's nothing that is objectively traumatic. Trauma is absolutely a subjective experience. So what might be traumatizing to one person, it may not be traumatizing to another person, but in general, trauma itself, something is traumatizing to you because you are overwhelmed by it. If you do not have the emotional and mental and relational and physical resources to meet what's happening, we would consider that to be traumatizing. And not every trauma, of course, becomes a disorder, you know, a sort of what we imagine with post-traumatic stress. But all trauma that is not addressed and isn't allowed to heal stays in the body, stays in the nervous system, and can affect all of these systems so that it can affect it certainly affects memory. It affects your ability to regulate yourself, if that makes sense, like your ability to sort of notice what's going on with you and make an intervention. And the first thing I just want to like acknowledge for everybody listening is that real recovery time is needed for these things, for traumatic experiences. And this absolutely includes the traumas that you experienced developmentally as a child, perhaps in your early family system, where there was a great deal of stress and parents who couldn't meet your needs and possibly through no fault of their own. You know, it's possible sometimes people lose a parent or, you know, there's any number of things can happen. And it's not necessarily the end of the world. We're incredibly adaptive, resilient creatures, some of us more than others, but those adaptations, when we're adults, can come back and also be, you know, almost prisons for our own behavior. When you brought up not breathing, I thought, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I've certainly been there. So many women hold their breath. And I remember the first time someone just sort of pointed out to me that, like, well, there are reasons you might want to hold your breath. And that the first one is like, imagine that you are having an emotional response, like someone says something that hurts and you're about to cry, but it's not a safe situation to have that response in. The way that you stop yourself from crying is by holding your breath. that's just the physical intervention you would make. But if you have been trained or taught your whole life to hold your emotions in, or to not express, you know, certainly not at work, God, right? then you can develop a sort of pattern, a chronic pattern of holding your breath and not noticing anymore. You no longer notice that that's what's happening. So we're really working towards like a deeper appreciation of just like what's happening, what's real, what it's, you know, what it's going to take for us to heal, and no longer perhaps being dismissive of our own needs. Like, hey, we can keep that up for a little while, but the price is eventually chronic conditions, chronic,
That's
you know,
right.
depression, chronic anxiety, chronic physical pain. So many of us experience this in our bodies. We end up with problems with our knees and our feet and our backs, mysterious headaches, you know, I mean, it's like we, and then even those, we experience those for so long that we just think we have to live with this. And most of us then end up on medications because that's part of our allopathic medicine system is like, well, I guess you're just going to have to be on some pills for the rest of your life. And those, of course, have their own symptoms that you then have to deal with.
Indeed.
The price is real. And the answer is to really allow yourself to be called in by these symptoms, by your own suffering that is very real, into this deeper healing work that you deserve as a human being. And this doesn't necessarily, you know, the solutions I want to propose are not about money. It's not about having a ton of money so that you can send yourself to a retreat, you know, in Bali for a month, although that sounds really good right now.
It sounds spectacular.
But I think the beginning of this answer is in part in a reframe of what self-care means. I don't know about you, Shanmari, but I know I certainly first understood self-care to almost be like, it's like a list of things you have to do on top of all the other things you have to do, right?
Of course, it's just another thing to do.
Now you need to make sure that you get to your yoga, your Pilates, that you make a walk, that you meditate. And it's like, where is time in the day, you know, in order to like get all your self-care done? It just ends up leading you to feel more overwhelmed or like you're a failure, you know. And an important reframe of that goes back to this idea of there being, of everyone being on the spectrum between resources and demands, which means that you being overwhelmed by any one situation isn't like about you and you being not good enough. It's situational. You just don't have enough resources in that situation to meet the demands that are coming at you. And if you have unhealed trauma, then, you know, you really don't, you know, there's deeper resources that need to be cultivated. But as any of us sort of move along this line and demands are sort of outstripping resources, we begin to have initial symptoms. For some people, their first symptom is they stop sleeping. They stop having, you know, an easy time going to bed. For some people, the first sign is the relationship's kind of, you know, falling apart a little bit, getting stressful. For me, it really is often this sort of cognitive symptom of like, wow, I'm not tracking what's happening right now. I'm having trouble speaking or finding my words. And what we want to do once we start to notice those symptoms, what it means to practice self-care at that point is to strategically address resources towards those symptoms. So if I'm starting to experience these kind of cognitive or mental symptoms, my strategic sort of resource I can apply to that is an amazing invention they call the nap. I carve out 30 minutes to take a nap. And I'll tell you, like, because that is exactly, if the symptoms you're having are cognitive in that way, the nap is the answer. If you are having emotional symptoms, you know, I know in my line of work, I sometimes just get overwhelmed by the, I'm talking about trauma a lot, which, you know, sometimes I'm really steeped in some pretty heavy material. And so I'm starting to experience some emotional symptoms, and what I really need, my strategic self-care at that point is usually like a really dumb movie. that's funny, or some music. Music is such a great way to address emotional symptoms when they begin to arise. Your
That's
physical
great.
Symptoms, of course. We just want to strategically address the actual symptoms that are coming up and targeting our self-care strategies. And then remembering, right, that it's not, we're not deficient, you know, we're just in a situation where we need more resources, perhaps to meet what's going on. And those resources can be absolutely 100% free. This isn't something you need to buy. This isn't a cream. This isn't a class. I think the most important one probably that is the gateway to all the others is just being present with yourself. Just like tuning in and listening to what's going on with you and noticing if you're holding your breath. And noticing if there's parts of your body that are in pain or not in pain, or if there's a way that your body might want to move a little bit. You know, perhaps you've been sitting at your desk already for hours this morning and you're not tuned in. You're not being present with yourself enough to notice the symptoms that are arising and just take care of them. Just take care of them as they arise.
Mm. Well, Mindy, this was a sermon for sure, and I wish that we could continue this conversation, which I know you and I definitely will, but it is time for us to wrap up our show, and I just want to thank you personally. I adore you. This has been such an important topic, and we have just begun to scratch the surface, and I would love it if you would please let our listeners know if they would like to reach out to you or expand on this conversation or find out about your work or your book that's coming out in the spring. Could you let our listeners know how they could get a hold of you?
Absolutely. My author website is thecultofmindy.com. And I'm pretty stalkable, pretty Googleable in that way, but you can find out about upcoming sort of publications or workshops that I'm teaching in creative writing or storytelling or performance. But if you are interested in speaking to me one-on-one, I encourage you to go to my business website, freedelivery.life. It advertises itself as a speaking, story, and performance services firm, it's where I do offer some expert personal coaching, and you can contact me through that website, freedelivery.life.
Beautiful. Well, everyone who's listening, if you are feeling even remotely interested in reaching out to Mindy, I can't recommend it enough. She is she's a force, and she is changing the way that people and women are dealing with trauma and stress and overwhelm and so much more. So, Mindy, thank you again so much for being our guest today. It was such an honor to have this conversation with you.
Oh, it's absolutely mutual. An honor to be on the show, and I, you know how much I love talking about work and meaning with you, Shawn Marie. It's been lovely.
I do. Thank you. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for being here. And I want to invite you back every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. to join us. And our show next Monday, since we will not be here on Friday, our leading lady is executive producer Layla Ojad. And the topic will be Women of Influence in the Arab World. And you won't want to miss it. So thank you again. It has been my sincere pleasure. And I would like to leave you with this. Those who say it's not personal, it's just business, are lying. All business is personal, and the best business is very personal. Thank you so much. Until next time.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.